The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
And both head coaches for both teams could be gone. What do you think about the game and which one's more disappointing?
Can we time out? I just started my recording.
So ask me that question again, Kevin. What was the most disappointing thing about the weekend?
All right, how about another clap test since that first one was over?
Sorry, that's sound.
I'm so sorry.
All right. On zero, just we'll do a clap test.
My bad. I'm so sorry.
3, 2, 1, 0. Okay.
I'm recording now. So.
What's up?
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So, the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable. Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined by Uncle Tony and Pops. And Pops was so frustrated with the lack of effort and just not showing up by the Cowboys. He almost didn't show up for this podcast. We recorded about 10 minutes and he realized he wasn't recording. So, you know what? Turn the page. Availability is the best ability. Pops, we're glad to have you.
Thank you. I apologize for the Dallas Cowboy thing that I did to begin the podcast.
Tony, did you see he kind of even had one of those, that face that Dak Prescott has when he throws the second pick and he just doesn't know what's going on? You know, we had our own Dak Prescott here and the playoffs roll around.
The big eyes, the scared look. Yeah. Yeah.
Scared look and just slinging it wherever he could find a space.
Well, so, Tony, the NFC – oh, go ahead, Pops.
Well, I want to talk about – you were talking about before I told you that I wasn't recording, which win or which loss was more devastating. And I don't know if, Tony, you want to reiterate what you said.
So, we said between the NFC East, it was just a total no-show by that division. And so, Tony, Eagles losing to the Buccaneers 32 to 9.
Yeah.
Or the Cowboys losing to the Packers 48-32. Which one was the more disappointing loss?
Disappointing loss, the Eagles, because they gave up. Because I'm used to being disappointed by the Cowboys. They continue to do stupid things. So why should I expect anything else but stupid things from the Cowboys? And I'm gonna get into that in just a second. Shout out to Prestige Worldwide for something here in just a minute. But the Eagles, they couldn't tackle. They couldn't put down a paper bag. It looked like they were chasing people, and the wind was blowing, and they couldn't catch that plastic bag in the Home Depot shopping or in the parking lot. It was terrible, terrible. They gave up. That was the first time I've seen a team in the playoffs give up.
Yeah, I mean, part of that Cowboys game, Pops, was it looked, and we'll get more into it, but it looked just from the coaching standpoint, like the players weren't necessarily, I think, playing soft. They just were getting undressed in every angle. Like the defense knew what Dak was trying to do, and they were reading him like a book. The Cowboys defense was getting just shredded by it. I mean, a Packers offense that is rolling right now. But then to that other game, the Bucs-Eagles – while I like Baker Mayfield and thinks he plays hard, and I kind of root for him even a little, the Bucs didn't necessarily look great. They just looked like a team that actually tried, and the Eagles looked like a team that didn't even want to be there Monday night. And that's your reigning NFC champs, Pops.
Yes, I agree. And that Eagles loss was bad. I didn't watch much of it. I was trying to finish up Suits because I'm not enamored with football any longer. But I think the Cowboys loss was more difficult. Now, I'm much more of a fan of the Cowboys, but they had been playing well. The last game of the regular season, they went in and looked fantastic. The defense, although they hadn't been playing as well as they had at some parts of the season, I don't know, did Micah Parsons play in the game? I don't remember seeing him a lot.
He dropped back in coverage.
Well, he didn't cover anybody because Jordan Love was throwing to wide open receivers all day long. It wasn't like he was trying to fit things in tight windows. But so I just think the defense of Dallas, I mean, if Dan Quinn is looking for a job, and, you know, I think he's high on the list of some people, but, boy, the way that defense looked was – I mean, Dak did have that deer-in-the-headlights look for sure, and he and CeeDee Lamb, you know, obviously got off somehow bad initially, but I think it was the defense that let us down as much as anything. And then Dak started pressing. We just can't play from behind. So to me, the more disturbing loss, because Philly had been, what did they lost? Five of their last six? You know, they were on a tailspin.
They were 10
anyway.
And 1 at one point.
Yeah, they were 10 and 1.
They've been just 7 weeks. I think they've lost six of the last seven weeks. But
and I remember Pops, it was I think a real debate as to who was the best team, you know, San Francisco or Philly. That was a serious debate, the best team in the NFL. For a while, and boy, then Philly took a tailspin. So that's where I stand on it.
Well, we are recording this. Pops, I now realize what Tony was mentioning a moment ago. We're recording this on Wednesday night, and Pops, the Cowboys are not parting ways with Mike McCarthy. He will be back for another year next year. Mm. I was about to say, could both of these coaches, Eagles and Cowboys, be vacant and looking for a new position. Tony, it looks like Cowboys will not. Just throw up a little in my mouth. What's your thoughts, Tom?
So I don't want to take all the thunder away from Dr. Lift. He and I talked about sometimes you got to have a little bit of that salve, that chapped ass. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, I got to have a little salve. And I've said this before, and it was several years ago when the Cowboys just ridiculous. So bringing McCarthy back and not making any changes. The Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in any sport, right? I take that back. I think there's a soccer team that maybe Man U is. But in the NFL, there's not a more valuable franchise than the Dallas Cowboys as far as money is concerned. Their performance is ridiculous. Now, I heard that on that game as they were leaving, said, you got to make the decision. Is there a coach that's better? If you let go of your coach, will somebody pick him up right away? If that's the case, then don't fire him. I don't care. Prestige Worldwide and I talk about it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. This is ridiculous. And here it is, sports fans, until people stop going to football games and stop buying Cowboys merchandise and stop putting stars on the side of their cars and their hats and their underwear. This is not going to change. He's making money. He doesn't care. He does not care about the performance on the field. He does not care about that. And as long as that occurs, until you hit him in the pocketbook or take him out of the business, there's not going to be any changes in what the Cowboys are doing. They're going to flirt with it, and they're going to win 10, 11 games and then fall flat on their ass because they don't care. They don't put quality out on the field. I'm done.
You really think Jerry Jones doesn't care about winning? I don't think I believe that, Tony. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of it, but I think Jerry Jones cares. He just sometimes can't quit stepping on his own you-know-what.
No, if he cared about winning, Mike McCarthy's not the coach. If he cared about when he would make these tough decisions and cut these guys off, these fuckers got to go. Got to go.
But
if you're not going to do this, you've got to make a change. And he's not changing his fault. He's not changing what he's doing. He's not winning.
I think I lean to where Pops is saying. I do think Jerry wants to win really badly, but he wants to win and still be Jerry. And I think the reason it took a few days, like this announcement came out on Wednesday instead of on Sunday or even Monday morning, is because I bet they reached out to a Mike Vrabel. And I don't think Vrabel has interest coaching. That was his problem with Tennessee, is the new owner at Tennessee wanted to be more of an owner and not just like, hey, I brought in you to be the coach. You just be the coach. And so I think he was like, oh, okay, well, we're not getting Vrabel. We might not get Bill. And then he goes, he looks, the Cowboys the last 3 years, 12 wins each of the last 3 years. This past year, they're first in points per game, ninth in points allowed. 2 years ago, fourth in points per game, sixth in points allowed. 2021, first in points per game, eighth in points allowed. And so he's looking at the paper, and like Pop said, he's looking at this, the box score of the playoff game. He goes, well, we're not far off. We could do it. And I disagree wholeheartedly with him, but I think he thinks this is a way to win. And I think we're going to run it back into the same thing again next year. They're going to win 11 or 12 games, get on some hot streaks, but they lose to every well-coached team. Because that's one thing they're not.
Well-coached. They lose to every well-coached team.
Kevin. We thought earlier this year they lose to the good teams because we weren't one of those teams. Talent-wise, we are those teams. They're just poor coach. That's why you see a Shanahan undress Dan Quinn. You see LaFleur. I mean, you watch that game. Not all the Dak plays that look bad. I've seen a lot of breakdowns, you know, a lot of these Twitter breakdown guys and stuff, and showing the all 22. The Packers knew exactly what we were running because Mike McCarthy is very predictable. Dan Quinn was very predictable, and LaFleur knew exactly how to crush him, and they were killing him with those Romeo Doubs deep in-cut routes. And as soon as we decided, we waited two quarters till halftime to adjust, and that's when I can't remember who hit the route, but someone did it again to Stephon Gilmore and made him look just goofy. We're always one step behind coaching-wise, but yet Jerry kept him around. That's my rant. I think we lose to all these good teams because we're just poorly coached. We have the talent. We're just not well coached.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you're right. I think it's the coaching we're talented enough. And it's like that athlete, you know, that comes up in high school and even college, and their athleticism just keeps on putting them better than everybody. And I think the athleticism that some of the Cowboys players has, but there comes a time when you got to be more cerebral than the guy across the line from you. You got to outthink him. And that's where the Cowboys are lacking.
So that's why I feel like when we play some of these not as good teams, we run it up and we look great because they are a really good team and the scheme's not bad. But when you get to the playoffs, there's adjustments being made. Like that drive didn't work. Why didn't it work? Like the Cowboys are just like, this is what we do. We just got to keep doing it. And that's why the Packers just Matt LaFleur just pants them on national TV. They were going up and down the field, left and right. I mean, it was just embarrassing, Tony.
So to talk about the game, I thought Green Bay actually won that game more than the Cowboys lost it. And we'll talk more about Green Bay and San Francisco. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But Jordan Love can get out of the pocket and be effective. And the Cowboys can't handle that. If you're in the pocket, Micah Parsons will get to you. But he got out of the pocket and was effective with it. And I think that they had a great game plan and they did not adjust to that. But here's the thing I'd like to say. So the Cowboys made two critical personnel decisions through the year that ended up hurting them. And the first was at the very beginning. They made a decision that Tony Pollard was going to be their lead back. And he was not ready for that. And I don't think there's anyone that can debate that Tony Pollard was not ready to be a lead back and is not a lead back in the NFL. The Cowboys made that decision. That's a GM decision. That's a personnel decision. That was a bad decision, and it cost them because they couldn't run the football. When you can't run the football, and we're going to talk about the teams remaining in this playoffs can run the football for the most part. And they can't run the football. So that was a bad personnel decision, not having a banger or getting a lead back for the Cowboys. The second thing, when Vander Esch went down, they had the opportunity to go out and get Philadelphia went and got two big defensive linemen in through trades. And there were linebackers available for them to get, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And so that's a second personnel decision that could have really – a linebacker to help Micah Parsons would have been a big help this weekend and may have been a difference maker. They didn't do it. And so those are personnel decisions GMs need to make, and the GM for the Dallas Cowboys did not make good personnel decisions. And that's got to change. It's got to change. There is a new head coach and GM in Carolina because of a personnel decision, right? Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. There is a new Carolina head coach because of that. There's not in Dallas. There's no response. There's no accountability. That has got to change.
Yeah, and I just think the keeping Mike McCarthy thing, it's he's like, that's just speculation, but I feel like Jerry's like, well, I mean, the floor is, were a really good regular season team, win 12 wins. And like Tony said, he does look at the money situation. Don't get me wrong. I do think he's cashing checks. And they're 12 wins, and he's like, this fan base will get around us, and we just need the ball to bounce our way a little bit, and we'll be fine. And I just think he's totally off. I do want to give a moment to just say a shout-out to the Packers, because we Tony, I think, before this week kind of said he was nervous about it because that offense has been humming. Jordan Love's been playing really well, and they're young and almost too young to even know what how big a situation they're in. And
they don't know any better. Playing.
Yeah. I'm not saying Jordan Love is – you know, Patrick Mahomes-esque or Aaron Rodgers, he's still got a long way to go. But he does, every now and then he kind of like does a little like Tony was saying, he breaks the pocket and extends the play and kind of flicks his arm. And there's some stuff where I'm like, oh, there's something special maybe there. And I mean, I don't know if I think they beat the Packers, but there's talent. They're young as hell, but there is talent all over that team.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then you know how they did it, Tony? Just great personnel decisions. They're just drafting well. And it might not be what the fans want. They're drafting a quarterback in the first round when you got Aaron Rodgers. And it seems dumb, but they're drafting receiver. I don't know. They run a good program.
All the hype of, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was so mad about, you know, was going to hold out because they drafted Jordan Love. There's a reason they drafted Jordan Love. Look at that. And I wish every organization would do that, would hold that quarterback 2 to 3 years before putting him out there. Mahomes didn't play his first year. Jordan Love not playing his first three. The amazing. You can see the difference. And a great – but, man, have they hit the jackpot on their offensive players. Now, we'll see what they get. Aaron Jones – another shout out to Prestige Worldwide. It'll be interesting to see where Aaron Jones ends up next year. Who knows? Maybe the Cowboys.
He loves scoring in Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah, that much. Yeah, and but they're two. They've got two rookie tight ends that are phenomenal, and they've got four rookie wide receivers that are phenomenal, and Christian Watson, who is pretty damn good too. They're set. They're in really great shape, and shout out to them.
I push back a little on, and I don't know the right answer because I do think you saw Jordan Love grow a lot this year, just getting reps. They started 2-7, and he did at times. He started out good, and then he had about a 4-week span where he just looked bad. And I think I even might have wrote him off. I don't know. I hope I didn't, but I might have. And he was able to, like, the reps helped him. So I do think the reps help, but I think maybe, Tony, to what you're saying, sitting him lets him kind of, even though he went through that bad stint, and it also helps being in a good organization where the owner's not going on the radio every Monday morning to give his opinion. But he grew from it, and maybe being able to sit for a year or two, he knew, he's like, I got it. I just need to go a little faster. I'm not broke. Like Bryce Young, maybe the reps I do think are valuable, but at some point it's like, maybe I'm just not the NFL. They kind of get broken a little
bit.
Don't break
your
spirit.
Start
to lose it.
Yeah.
And I got to give. I just think Matt LaFleur is a really good head coach. I think they're a solid team. And to deal with what they've dealt, Aaron Rodgers put them in a bad spot a lot. And it was kind of pops out. You might have heard Russillo talk about this some, but he's been saying it for weeks, or years. Aaron Rodgers complained so much about Green Bay, and I'm like, I just don't think you know how well you got it in Green Bay. It's actually a really good organization, and the grass is not always greener. And it shows that, Aaron Rodgers was really good. We're not saying that he's not a Hall of Famer, but that program and that organization still seems like they're running pretty solid without that Hall of Famer.
You know, I heard a pretty interesting take today, and I'll give credit. It was Cowherd that said it. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is kind of a nonconformist. I mean, I don't care which – if you say the sky's blue, he's going to go, well, really? You know, maybe not. You know, I just think he's going to do things his way just because that's who he is. And I think Jordan Love is more a quarterback that will listen to LaFleur and you know, hit the spot, you know, play the scheme that they've got. And
trust the scheme. Trust the game plan.
Trust the scheme. Trust the game plan. And I think that Green Bay is a better team right now without Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. They're a better football team without him. And I just, to me, that's a fact. And anyway, that's what I think.
So, Tony, one of the reasons I think a lot of Cowboy fans were hoping they would move on from Mike McCarthy partly was just because They're the only team to ever go three straight years with 12 wins and not even make it to a conference championship game. But also because I think we're in a little bit of a rare situation where there's some really good coaches available. I mean, there's Bill Belichick's arguably the best coach of all time. Mike Vrabel, who I think everybody considers to be a really good coach. Pete Carroll sounds like he wants to coach, and he's still – I mean, he's a good coach, but it doesn't look like – obviously, the Cowboys are moving on. But I do want to get your thoughts on the Eagles after losing their offensive defensive coordinator. It looked like Sirianni had no idea what he's doing. I was reading that on 10 different occasions, the Bucs generated unblocked pressure, meaning there's just a man running right at Jalen Hurts, untouched. That's the most ever by – or most by defense all this season, and that's been Philly's problem all year. Either Hurts doesn't pick up the blitz – or Sirianni never came up with like a scheme or situation like, all right, if they're blitzing the hell out of us, here's how we can give you a hot
counteract it. Yeah.
I think Sirianni, I don't like him that much. Like some of the things he's done, and it might be because he's wearing an eagle on his chest. I'll be honest. There's a little bias, but I don't really like the way he carries himself. And it did look like they went on a tailspin, and it's not because that roster's not crazy talented, Tony. So do you think there's a chance that coaching position's open, or do they run it back with Sirianni?
I definitely think there's a chance. I don't know exactly what Lurie has invested in Sirianni at this point, if he's in the middle of a contract, if he got his extension after the Super Bowl run last year or what. It could be too expensive for him to let him go. But I will say this. Yeah, the best way for a coach to get fired is to lose his team. And there's no doubt that Sirianni lost that team during these last four or five ball games. And now we may find out, and I shout out to the announcers there in that game, but that we may find out that Jalen Hurts is hurt worse than he's letting
on. There's
going
to be the report that came out that, yeah, his knee's worse.
Knee's worse or something, because he certainly was playing very timidly in the last four or five ball games. But that is a factor of not having the line in front of him to keep him out of trouble. And so that's the question for me. If they felt like Sirianni lost the locker room and lost the respect of the players, as young as he is, I think he's gone. I think because he has no track record. And then all of a sudden you say, well, was Steichen, was he the real genius? So there's going to be those thoughts. And I don't know. I think he probably gets another chance. But if for some reason they come back and say, dude, you suck, that he's gone. Suck as a person. Okay, well, I don't mean that suck. I mean, obviously suck. I mean, anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. That was how you're coaching the team. But
that's right.
So in general, the wild card round was not necessarily a super fun week of football watching. There was a lot of blowouts. I mean, we just mentioned that Packers-Cowboys. The score is 48-32. That is way closer than it felt watching. Same with the Bills Steelers. The Steelers kind of crept in there a little at times, but it felt like one team was superior. Bucks Eagles, same. And the Chiefs and Texans both win convincingly. But we did get one fun one in that Rams Lions game, which was one of the games other than the Cowboys game, because I was looking forward to for my stupid fandom, which I don't know why I root for this team. But other than that, the Lions Rams was the one I was really interested in, because it's Goff going up against the Rams. It's Stafford going back home to Detroit. I kind of like Stafford and McVay, and it was kind of this retooled young roster that they've gotten back here. And then you had Detroit trying to win their first playoff game in three decades or whatever it was. It really played out well. Tony, I want to know your thoughts, because, I mean, the Rams could have won this one. And I think you were last week saying the Rams are frisky. And I agree. I mean, they would have won this. They were frisky in the next round. So what was your thoughts on the game, our one possession game of the wild card round?
Yeah, it was a fun game, and it lived up to the expectations. I think that some folks may have wanted to see a little bit higher score than that, but I thought the offense was both offenses and defense.
The first half was moving.
Oh, they made great plays all over the place. I think it came down to, and I was really surprised by this. And I don't know if Kyren Williams got a stinger or what, but he was in and out of the lineup in the second half. But
towards the second half, he was questionable to return with an injury. I can't remember what it was.
And so the Rams had three possessions inside the 20, inside the red zone, and came away with three field goals and had first and goal, I believe, on all three of them. And if I have it correct, they ran the football on one of those nine plays inside the 10-yard line, which is very much out of character for Sean McVay. And so I don't know if he tilted a little bit, and the Lions gave him a look that he wasn't ready for. But that was the ball game. if they score a touchdown on any one of those three possessions, and normally you do, they win that football game. At least it would have been a much different last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. But I thought Jared Goff did exactly what he did. He got it to his man Amon-Ra and let him make plays. And Stafford got it to now. And I know we were talking about this during the game to Puka Nacua, who I'm just telling you, this kid may be the next. He's not Jerry Rice statuesque, but he could be that guy, that late round draft pick that all of a sudden becomes one of the best players in the NFL because he certainly has the mindset for it. But let's not declare it. It's one season, one game. Let's not do that. But Stafford knew who to get the ball to, and Goff knew who to get the ball to. Detroit, and this will be a factor next week, Detroit ran the football really well with Gibbs, and Montgomery had a great balance. And that to me was the key in the last 10 minutes of the ballgame.
So I finally found it. Kyron Williams around the third quarter, he was already dealing with something, and then he hurt his hand, and that's when he was questionable return. I don't think he ever played again from that point on. So he was dealing with something. I thought in that line, there was a moment, and if you remember, it was around the it was towards the end of the second quarter. It was right after Stafford found Tutu Atwell on a busted coverage to cut it to 21-17. The Lions get the ball, and Goff has this play where he almost reverts back to bad Goff. He like gets pressure on him, and he decides he's going to try to toss it back to his tight end, and he shovel past it. It was a fumble. Luckily, the Lions fall on it, and they kind of get away from that drive. Like, hey, let's just survive. We're almost to halftime. That they run it like two more times and punt, and they go to half. And then the second half, Goff, I think he just needed that moment. The coach even knew. He's like, oh, we just got to calm him down. He got a little too amped up there, and I got to give Goff credit. He was making some really good throws. I thought Laporta battled through there and was solid. I mean, he wasn't normal Sam Laporta, but he was good. Amon-Ra was really good. I thought they ran the ball good. And I got to give a lot of credit to their defense because I was with you, Tony. Stafford was eating them alive. He was dealing. Like, he looked really good. And Puka was going nuts. And I think they asked Dan Campbell at halftime, I think it was, he was walking off, and he goes, well, they didn't punt the entire first half, so if we can just get them to punt some, we'll win this game. And Aaron Glenn came in, and that wasn't punts, but they held them to field goals, specifically in the red zone. And I thought Collinsworth nailed this. They were calling that, I believe, and Collinsworth said they're getting too predictable with they're driving up and down the field, and in the red zone, they really want to go to Cooper Kupp. And I think the Lions knew that. If we can just take Cooper Kupp out, then we can get them to kick field goals. And that's what it came down to. The Rams kept kicking field goals in that towards the end of the game. And it was fun. I was rooting for either team. Like, I was kind of – it was a fun game to watch, one, because it was up and down, Pops. But also, I was kind of happy with either outcome. Like, it was – after, I was like, well, that's cool for the Lions. Like, that's cool for Dan Campbell and Goff and Detroit. Like, man, I wouldn't mind seeing Detroit keep winning.
Me too. Tammy had asked me, you know, who are you rooting for in this game? And I found myself pulling a little bit for Detroit. Because I've come to like Dan Campbell, you know, quite a bit, and I like to see Goff doing well. But I'm a Stafford fan. I do like Stafford, and man, he still got a live arm. He was throwing that ball, and
that's what I noticed. Passes. That arm still looks really good.
That arm still looks alive, man. I think he's a tough SOB. I really like both those. I like that game. I was really having a hard time, but I was rooting for Detroit. I'm glad they won, and I hope they make a little noise in the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, Goff at any point, he did a real good job because I think he did not want this game to be about him at all. He didn't want it to be about me going against my own team that basically just threw me in that trade as a cap filler. Like, they were just basically giving him away. And he really downplayed it. I thought, well, after you win, and he went 22 for 27, 277 yards, he could have kind of took a victory lap. And still after the game, he didn't make it. It was just really cool by Goff. He could have at any point done it, and I would have been like, you know what? You kind of earned it. You've been balling the last 2 years, and you beat your old team. And he still was just like, oh, it's just great to win. I just love winning with this team. And he's really easy to root for. At times, he looks a little goofy to me.
Yeah.
Not like a franchise quarterback. I don't know. This isn't analytical. This is just he looks a little like a goofball. But he carried himself really well since that trade and before and after that game. And they – who are they going to have next, Tony? It's at home. They get a home
Buccaneers.
Yeah, so and almost like a bottle of lie, they maybe should have beat the Cowboys, and if they would have beat the Cowboys, they'd get a home playoff game. But the Cowboys choked it away anyway, so they still get their home playoff game against the Bucs, and they're live in that one to move forward. And I think, Tony, you're right. They didn't do it as well as I thought they should have. They got away a little at one point, but they just need to let David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs lead them and then start hitting you on those seams with Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams and even Laporta some. Because those guys look fresh running the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does Amon-Ra stand in the left? I mean, he's a top 10 receiver, isn't he?
He's got to be hovering. His name's, I would say, Tony, it's hovering right in the top five. Sometimes he gets right outside of that name, list, but he's in that, maybe not that top three category, but right outside looking.
Yeah. He's one of the best route runners in the league. I say he's top three as far as our route runners. He and Devontae Smith, maybe the best route runners. He's not as physical, right? Puka Nacua is a physical wide receiver in that game, just for curious. But you look at Stephon Diggs, physical receiver. You look at A.J. Brown, physical receiver. Justin Jefferson is another great route runner, but just taller. But Amon-Ra just gets open and finds himself in a space, and he's a great route runner. So he's really good.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
So he's
He's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. We'll probably go through these games a little quicker, but I want to touch on, C.J. Stroud and the Texans had about as impressive a performance I've seen by a rookie. I mean, Jordan Love was his first playoff game, but he's been in the league a little while. C.J. Stroud just continues to just ball out up there in Houston, Tony. And I don't think they beat the Ravens, but C.J. Stroud does not seem scared at all. He gives that same vibe that a Joe Burrow gives to a team where it's just like, well, he's confident and he can deal. His arm looks good. He does that same stuff we were talking about with Jordan Love where just gets out of pressure and kind of flicks his arm and just looks good. Nico Collins looks good. I don't know. I did not expect them. I thought they could win. 45-14 was shocking.
Crazy.
To me in that
so
game.
This is one where either I'm stupid or the Cleveland Browns really are not that good. And, coming from that division with Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Baltimore, it's the complete opposite of the NFC East. All those teams are really, really good, and I expected Cleveland to do better. And they flat just got blitzkrieged. And so I was really disappointed. That was a disappointing game for me, as I thought Cleveland, their defense would show up better. But, man, Stroud, it was lightning strikes. You know, Nico Collins, 75 yards, boom, done. And then all of a sudden they turn around Brevin Jordan, I think. Boom, 74 yards, done. And it's, you know, they just really were. And once that was in, they were done. And Joe Flacco showed his weaknesses in that game. And
he had that moment where he had threw back to back pick sixes. I don't know how often that's ever happened, but
yeah,
it was kind of that. Oh, there's Joe Flacco turning into a pumpkin a little bit.
Yeah, and that's where. So if you take those away, it's a much closer game, you know. But that's part of it, right? But they truly dominated. I was really disappointed in that game. I thought Cleveland was going to win that game. But Houston obviously is at a point now where we're just not glad we're here. We're here to win. So.
Well, and that's what they keep doing that. And it's similar to the Packers even a little where it's like they're almost too young not to know that they shouldn't necessarily be in these games. And they're playing good. And I'll tell you a name. He was already kind of being mentioned around for head coaching jobs, but Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, the game plan he drew up to basically get out of, because Myles Garrett has been wrecking. Like that defense is good. That whole Cleveland defense is good.
Wasn't it the best defense in the league coming in? Yeah, maybe
it was. And it predicates though off points per game. Myles Garrett is just blowing stuff up, and then on top of that, everyone else is great. And they were running rollouts towards his side, like they were doing things where they weren't avoiding him necessarily. They were just doing so much around him that then he started playing the little hesitation. And then, like Tony was saying, it just got out of hand after those two pick sixes. The game got away from you and it's over. But that Slowick drew up a good game plan and Stroud's good. And I mean, Stroud might just be one of those quarterbacks that's now in that conversation. I mean, it's a little early to go ahead and pop him in that conversation with some of the Allens and Mahomes of the world, but he's showing signs that he might end up being one of those kind of guys. And Houston, their future looks real bright because they're really young.
Real young. That's real young. Did you hear me, Jerry? Real young. Y-O-U-N-G. Young.
Chiefs, Dolphins, as you, we talked about this, and I went to an establishment that has TVs and serve drinks with a couple of buddies of mine. And we were told that, oh, yeah, yeah, we got Peacock. Yeah, yeah, we'll have the game up. They couldn't figure out how to get Peacock on their bar TV, so I was kind of watching on my phone a little, and it was hard to watch. But, Tony, was it just the Chiefs are a different level than the Dolphins? Tua, not that good of a quarterback. Was the weather just that cold? Like, what was your read on that game?
No, so that was two things. The Chiefs have a different personality, very much defense-oriented at this point in time, and Patrick Mahomes had a really good game, and you can see the difference in Travis Kelce getting a week off. I thought he was very effective. We'll see if he can continue that next weekend. But
I'll tell you, it was effective. Rashee Rice.
Well, yeah. So the athlete took over, right? So what happened? Miami is really hurt. Of all the teams in the league, mm-hmm. they probably are the most hurt. Now, again, they are a very make it or break it kind of team that very depend upon the big play. And the Chiefs played it soft enough where they couldn't get that. Tyreek Hill had a couple of big plays. But Mostert didn't break out. Achan didn't break out. And Tua had no other, you know, Waddle was limited. He wasn't his same self. They don't have a tight end that they can really turn to. And so that just, there were too many negatives to face the defending Super Bowl champions at home at minus 10 degrees. There was just too much there. And I think that's what you saw is the Chiefs took the elements and won that football game the way they should have.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it was the elements that impact the Dolphins, and I just think the Dolphins are a really banged up team. And the Chiefs, they know how, like Mahomes is not yet, and we know he could at any point, but he realizes what he's got too. I think, and he's like, "Oh, I got a good enough defense. We score 10, and they might be in this game. I don't need to force anything. Let's just keep it simple." And that's what they did. And I think they're definitely live moving forward. And Pops, I'm really interested. We get Mahomes, Josh Allen. Is it part three in the playoffs? Is that a thing?
I think so.
That game is exciting. I'm pumped for that game, Pops. Yeah. In Buffalo, I believe, right?
And it's going to be in Buffalo. Yeah. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game of his career, because Super Bowls are always neutral.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. I will watch, even though my Cowboys are out. I will watch that football game for sure. But yeah, I think just to piggyback on what y'all said a little bit, I think that the Dolphins were really hurt. I think that the Kansas City defense really showed up. I mean, they really had that one play. I think wasn't that Tyreek Hill that caught that pass and made that touchdown? 53-yarder. That was it, you know.
That was really it.
That was it. So I think that defense – And the temperature certainly doesn't probably help a team like Miami at all. I don't know that helps anybody. That sure looked dangerous to play, and it hurt just watching them. Mahomes' helmet getting cracked. I mean, you know.
And then did you see that picture? Clyde Edwards-Helaire tweeted something. It was like, man, Coach Reed was telling me something in the third quarter, and I really just couldn't even listen to him because I was distracted by his mustache. And there's a picture. His mustache is like snot frozen on it because it was terrible. So that looked miserable. I mean, absolutely miserable to be at. I don't know why. And I love being a fan and going to the games, and I'll get a little crazy, but I just
have you been when 30. It's really cold, I have trouble talking sometimes. I have trouble verbalizing just the cold. That's really cold. I don't like to be in that. It got to single digits here this weekend, and it was miserable.
And there was a spot, I don't know if you saw this, Tony, you might have seen it across your phone, but L'Jarius Sneed at one point really jammed Tyreek Hill. It was really good. Not many people can do that Tyreek Hill. L'Jarius Sneed's a very good corner. And NFL.com or whoever posted it, and Tyreek Hill quoted the tweet, was like, he jammed my ass all the way to Cancun. Because that there's and you know what, that's Tyreek Hill just going, yeah, they were the better team. Like, we didn't lose because we got cheated or because we should have. Like, they just beat us. And you know what? Credit to Tyreek Hill. You know, sometimes when you lose, there ain't nothing to say. But, yeah, we got our ass beat. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Is there anything to talk about in that Steelers-Bills? Or, I mean, kind of what we expected a little, just
they were who we thought they were.
I still think it's insane, Pops. I don't know if you saw after the game, a reporter went to ask Mike Tomlin about his contract status and will he be back, and he walked off. This morning, on Wednesday morning, he told the team he'll be returning as head coach, and it sounds like he is going to return as head coach.
Yeah.
And that team overachieved to win 10 games with what they were doing. They had no business winning 10 games. So I don't know why you're talking get rid of Mike Tomlin. I would
fire McCarthy if Mike Tomlin would come coaches. I mean, in a second, I would do that. But
that team was like a 5-win team, and they won 10, and they still even played. Like, there was a part in that second or maybe third quarter, I think it was in the second, where they kind of showed a little sign of life, and I thought, hey, I mean, if they get a lucky Josh Allen turnover or something, they might be back in this thing. Well, Tomlin. They played hard for that.
Was that the blocked kick? Maybe they had the blocked field goal right kind of before the half, which I remember telling Tammy, that guy's hand hurts because that football was hard. Golly, that football had to have been hard. But then they scored on that one, I think, and then got the ball at the first of the second half. But anyway, for a minute, it was in doubt. I mean, the Pittsburgh did make it a game.
And that's credit to they were without TJ Watt. They were outmanned, outgunned, and Mike T is a really good coach. I just think it's I think they need a quarterback change. I don't think Pickett's the answer, but a coach is is not the issue in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's had three coaches
three: Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. That's it.
That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts.
Can I have a quick complaint, Tony? Why do we do the – we don't have to do the Monday night game. I know one game got rescheduled to Monday, and I understand why they did that, because that was like you don't need fans trying to get to the game when that was very dangerous driving conditions. But – and I know it's ESPN just money-making, but let's just keep it to the weekend. Like this divisional round, this typically to me is the best weekend of football. I know there's not as many games – but usually you get four solid games in the divisional round.
Yeah.
Monday night.
I'm absolutely. I got the side eye from my wife for that. It's like, oh, there's a game Monday? I got that. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. That question, we're like, wait, there's another game tonight?
There's another game? I think she's actually she's lobbying for a position on the podcast for angry.
Thankfully, the Eagles also didn't want to play on Monday night.
Yeah. So I think she likes football.
I mean,
she likes football. But you should have heard last night of that basketball game. But anyway, paint was peeling. We don't need that. Saturday and Sunday is just fine, right?
There's enough time to stretch them out where they're all standalone games, you know.
Yeah. And they've done it. And now they're doing it. It's staggered this weekend too, because Saturday is that late afternoon and Saturday night. And then Sunday is 2 and 5. Could we just have something regular, man? Where's John Madden when you need him, right? You know, golly, the ghost of Pat Summerall needs to come back and haunt the NFL front office. I don't know.
So before we get to some picks here, was there any other notes? I know you got some notes and thoughts from Prestige Worldwide. Was there anything we missed on the earlier games, Tony?
No, I think we hit it pretty good. I think that it's just, you know, interesting that and we talked about the Chiefs defense. I think that's going to be key. And we'll talk about it here again in a second. But
another guy on the defensive line. I can't remember his name, but it's not Jones, obviously. But there's another guy that's looks really good. And I'm blanking on his name because he was kind of a no name, at least to me.
Yeah, and they're filling up
the middle. Prestige Worldwide would know them all.
But he did say something interesting. And I do think this is something that I think that came out of this weekend, and that is that there is a resurgence of young teams. When we look at the Texans and the Packers in the resurgence that they and to some extent the Lions.
I was about to say the Lions to some extent.
Yeah, and so that is great to see. I think looking at that and those young teams and getting themselves set up – it's football is going to be all right. And so I think that that was really fun to watch, to see those young teams having success.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the quarterbacks in the playoffs still, you got Stroud, Lamar, Jordan Love, Purdy, Baker Mayfield, Goff, Mahomes, Allen. I mean, none of these are guys that I think are retiring, you know, soon. And I'm not putting them all in the same category. It's just you got a lot of good young quarterbacks and good young teams.
Yeah.
Hey, I got something I wanted to mention.
Go ahead, Pops. Yeah.
And I don't know if this is the time, but Jason Kelce is retiring. And certainly I do think he is one of the better centers. Let me just – 13 seasons, all with Philly. 7-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-Pro, selected as one of people's sexiest men alive. What the hell? I don't know. Don't get that. You can look up his stats. It's funny. Look up stats for an offensive lineman. It's a bunch of games played, 16. Games played, 17. Whatever. But here's my question about that. And I do think Kelce probably is a Hall of Famer. I don't know that I knew who he was until I knew who Travis Kelce was. I mean, is that
did, so? He was a good. He's been a know? Good. Really I mean, good
I
center.
Might have heard of him, but Travis Kelce put Jason Kelce on the map. Am I wrong? I mean, and I like Jason Kelce. Don't get me wrong.
I think Travis Kelce put Jason Kelce on the map to just like the general audience out there, the ones that aren't really watching, maybe. But if you the Eagles, Jason Kelce's been really really good for the Eagles for a decade. I don't.
13
yeah,
seasons,
I don't know if
apparently.
I would say
yeah.
put him on the map.
He put him on the map as a personality because they are two
right,
completely
he didn't
different people, right?
Yeah, he didn't talk like that either.
And I think last year's Super Bowl really put Jason Kelce on the map for sure. Let's not talk about that other thing going on with the Kelce family. But I think last year with the mom and them both being the Super Bowl, then they did a reality show together. All that happened because of that Super Bowl. And I think that's what, you know, made Jason Kelce a little more of a known name. And I don't know why I'm blanking on this. I can't believe it. As I just had him, the lineman for the Liff, you probably noticed, the lineman for the Houston Oilers that was so good, tackle, first ballot Hall of Famer, not Mark Schlereth, but
for the Oilers?
Centers?
Family of linemen.
I do know who you're talking about.
Matthews.
Bruce Matthews.
Bruce Matthews. It was Buffalo. I said Oilers. No, it was Houston Oilers.
No, you're right. Yeah. It's Houston Bruce Matthews.
So everybody kind of knew Bruce Matthews, right? I think Jason Kelce's kind of the same way because of they knew Bruce Matthews because of Earl Campbell. And so because, you know, you saw him. I think Kelce with the tush push all of a sudden became known. And the Super Bowl run, and he's a Super Bowl winner. And so he's been known in Philly and as an All-Pro for a long time. And so I think, though, from a personality perspective, is the Super Bowl last year is what
got him.
Well, because, the same way you were reading off center stats, the centers aren't coming up to the media is not asking for the center to come to the podium after the game, you know, so you're not
right
hearing clips from
him. There was a – did y'all hear the quote today Jalen Hurts announced when they would do the tush push?
They were talking about Kelce would go F my life or something like that. Yeah.
So Hurts said this is true, and Kelce had said it, and then Hurts said it was true. So every time they call that play and they go hut, he would yell out, "Fuck my life." He would drive it because he's the guy at the bottom, right?
He's the guy at the bottom. Yeah.
He's the one that makes it work, right? Because he's the one that's got to get lower than the guy across from. These are 300-pound guys. And so every time he snapped the ball, fuck my life.
Well, because then, Tony, on top of that, getting low and just ramming your body into a crowd of men. But then he's at the bottom, so they're all dogpile, and everyone's on. And he can't just get up. He's got to wait until they all take the bodies off. And
so can you?
It's got to be miserable.
Be the other lineman when you know it's coming. You know it's coming, and you know he's going to say it. And there may be 80,000 people screaming, but you know he's going to do it, and you know you can hear him do it. That's just got to be hilarious, you know.
Oh, that's funny. That's it'd be hard one. Not to that. That's at least crack a little bit of a laugh, like as you're just
So do y'all agree? Is he first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
I mean, I think he probably is.
I think he's one of the best centers of all time. I mean,
Since they started keeping those specific types of stats for effectiveness of linemen, he leads everybody. Not only centers, he leads a lot of different positions for efficiency at the lineman. I think he led the league last year in number of he had zero sacks, but 1.something% of losses on pass block, and it was 1.7 this year. He's 1.3 last year, so he's going out. If he does retire, he's going out still being a very good ball player. I think he's first ballot. And the Kelce now doesn't hurt.
He's not even, he's getting old, but not even crazy old, I think. Just, yeah. He's
36.
Like we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's older than I thought then. But I just got to imagine, as we just said, it can't be fun knowing there's going to be about four plays a game where I'm just going to yell F my life and have 21 huge men on top of me. So,
it's just think two tons of beef on top of you,
Fuck my life.
Looking ahead to this week, Tony, give me the game you're most intrigued by, and then give me a winner.
Okay, so I have lots of winners.
In whatever order.
In whatever order. Okay.
He's got lots of winners, Pops.
I got lots of winners, but I really – so I'm really intrigued by the Saturday games. I like all the games, but I really like the Packers 49ers game. I think that's going to be a fun game. I think the Lions are going to blow out the Buccaneers. And I'll talk about the second. So for me, and that not even Chiefs Bills will be entertaining as well. But I like the Lions at home -6.5. I've been a Ravens guy all year long, but I think this is the best play of the weekend because the Buccaneers gave the Eagles every chance in the book to beat them, and the Eagles just were like, The Lions are not, they're as far from as you can get. And so the Buccaneers are still going to give them those chances. And I think the Lions are just going to wipe the floor with them. The Buccaneers cannot run the football. The Lions do not let you run the football. That's going to be, the Buccaneers are only going to be able to do one thing. Now, the Lions are very poor at pass defense. But when you can completely shut down the run game, I think they can survive that. And the Buccaneers are very poor at pass defense as well. And so Detroit will run the football on them so they can be balanced. I like the Lions being at home less than a touchdown favorite. I like the Lions -6.5.
Yeah, and I'm a little worried if Baker Mayfield's fully healthy. And Aiden Hutchinson played like a man with his head on fire the other night. I mean, he was in the backfield a lot against the Rams, so I'm worried he might be in the backfield a lot against Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. So that's a good pick. I like that, Tony. Pops, what about you? You got a winner?
A winner, I think. I mean, I'm looking at Kansas City getting 2.5 points going to Buffalo. I mean, the way they're playing, the way that defense is playing. I mean, I think Buffalo, the magic could run out. I'm going to take Kansas City, and if you're going to give me 2.5, I'll take it.
Can you give me – there's only been one other time where Patrick Mahomes – was an underdog in the playoffs. Can you name the opposing quarterback he was against?
Had to have been that first year.
Josh Allen?
Yeah, maybe.
It would be Jalen Hurts this past year in the Super Bowl. They were 2.5-point dogs. Other than that, he's always been favored because they're always at home, so he's almost always favored. But I think basically Vegas is saying it's a pick 'em game. They're just giving Buffalo a few points for being in Buffalo. Okay. I don't hate that pick either, Pops, and I'm really torn. I think I'm just going to take – I'm going to stay away from the spreads here, and I'm just going to give me over in the Texans-Ravens. I think there's some points scored in that Texans-Ravens game because I think the Texans – Ravens probably beat them pretty good, but the Texans just keep battling, and even if there's some garbage scores, they're going to keep going all game.
43.5 is what I'm seeing.
43.5 is what I'm seeing, so I'm going to go over – 43.5. I thought about over in the Lions-Bucks game, but just not sure. And then that Chiefs-Bills, I wanted to go over there too, Tony, but you just talked about the Chiefs defense has been playing really well. And I could see that going a lot of ways. I could see that being an Allen Mahomes just if that's on fire.
If that's an over, the Bills are winning. I'll just say that because
I think that's what the Bills want, that to be an up and down game.
And, you know, and here's – it really scares me. I like that game, but dadgummit, the Bills had the opportunity to just put the Steelers away, and they couldn't do it. And and so I'm really concerned about that game. This should be the Bills' turn. Fourth time's a charm. But, you know, they ought to win this game. They're running the football better than they ever have. They've got quality on the they've got quality on the edges, and I don't understand. Dalton Kincaid is truly a weapon now. He's no longer a rookie. There's no reason they shouldn't win this game, except of the Bills.
I'm with you. I mean, this game screams Bills to me, but I just. To me, the game screams Bills. They're playing well. They got it at home, but I just, Mahomes is gonna. Allen could have a couple picks, leave the Chiefs in it, and then you got if this game gets down to 4 minutes left, the Chiefs are down three with the ball. I'm gonna be just if I'm a Bills fan, I'm just tightening my butthole a little bit because I'm worried about that guy on the other side of the field.
The Bills have a history of this, right? So. There was a time back in the 90s where the Buffalo Bills were a phenomenal football team, but they just couldn't win a Super Bowl and lost. It was four in a row, Liv, they lost?
I thought it was three in a row.
Three in a row, but four overall?
They
couldn't beat the Cowboys. And they couldn't beat
the Cowboys twice.
And so it's like, it's their turn. It never was. This may be the same thing with the Chiefs. It's never their turn against the Chiefs.
Four times in a row, the Bills lost the Super Bowl. 91, 92, 93, and 94. God, that's just brutal to get to the Super Bowl.
Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas. Andre Reed. They were a phenomenal team. Just couldn't win the damn Super Bowl. And you
lost to the Giants by one. Bruce Smith back then. Redskins and then Dallas twice.
Yeah. It was a great team. So all that to say is that game scares me. They ought to win. But Kansas City's defense is a whole lot better than they used to be.
And there's just a chance where if it starts to get that way where, there's no stat to really do this, but there's something about it. If it starts to unravel and the Bills start going, oh, no, it's about to happen again. We're about to let them get away again, and Mahomes is going to do it. And they start getting tense and playing a little tense. That one intrigues me. Tony, no one put it in, but – you mentioned it earlier. That Packers 49ers game is going to be interesting, I think. The 49ers probably should win and win by 10, but I'm not saying the Packers are out. They have a chance, I think.
So here's what I think is the best bet of the day for a return. I feel like I'm now that guy in casino with my big glasses. The best bet of the day is if you the Packers money line, because here's the thing. The Packers truly have a chance to beat the 49ers. And this game started out as a 10-point spread. It's down to 9.5. In some cases, it's going up to 9. The money is going way over to the Packers from a public perspective. But here's the thing that killed the Cowboys and I think will kill the 49ers. We talk about their defense. Jordan Love can throw out of the pocket. And if he can get away from that rush, they have quality receivers all across the field. They have a quality. They have a plus running back. I think they can make life hard for the 49ers. And I don't know that Brock Purdy is ready for this. He's just as ready as Jordan Love is. And so the 49ers should win. But boy, it would be a really good bet if you're getting. I don't know what the money line is for the Packers
plus 360.
That is a great bet, right? That's a great bet. And so, because they got a chance. 9.5's a lot, but they got a chance. And the 49ers should just wipe the face of the earth with them, but I don't think they will.
That one's going to be fun. And then you also get a little bit of LaFleur Shanahan. They're friends, but they also, it's almost like brothers going against each other. You still want to, it's nice to get the bragging rights over. You want to beat them. So that one's going to be fun. I think we're set up for a fun
I sure hope football. So, because it sure needs to be better than this past weekend. Because like you said,
the good
other
thing
than
is,
one game.
We don't have to watch that stupid team that resides in Dallas. So we don't have to worry about them. So good. Good riddance, as Pops would say.
The Cowboys' only home team to lose this weekend.
God, they're a joke. Pops, do Do you have any bougie problems other than for some reason you root for the Cowboys and you've got me rooting for the Cowboys? Other than those problems that we have?
Well, I guess my dad started me on it too. So no, that's the only bougie problem I have is the Dallas effing Cowboys.
The cold. Yeah, I thought maybe this weather might have had you with the bougie problem because LJ would scoff at us. But, you know, we've been down in the 20s. Teens, even the feels like kind of in the single digits at times.
Well, I will tell you, I will have a bougie problem when I get my water bill next month because I have been dripping faucets all over the house. I mean, I think I've made
It's worth it on that high water bill than a busted pipe. I mean, that busted pipe is from you don't need to have.
Busted pipe's a bitch, man. You know, that's so scary. You think those Saskatchewans are bad? What, you got a busted pipe?
Been through it before. Yep, I know.
Hey, here's a shout out. So we think we've got it bad, but we have some listeners out in Portland that are podcast listeners, and I'm not saying they're my cinnamon connection, but anyway, if you want to see really bad weather, check out some of the video from the West Oregon and Washington last weekend. 80-mile-an-hour winds and driving sleet, that is just not fun. So imagine, if you will, standing out on a parking lot with 80-mile-an-hour winds and somebody pelting you with ice. It's not fun. And so I'm not going to complain at all about my weather here after seeing that. So shout out to our good buddies out there in Portland with the podcast. And
It's just like when LJ kind of scoffs at me, complaining about cold weather and talks about his weather. The same for our buddies in Portland. More power to you. I don't know how you do it because, I mean, I'm moving slow in this weather. It hurts. It's bitter. That wind starts blowing and your ears start hurting. I don't know.
Talk, there's things. You get boogers in your stash. It's terrible. Terrible.
So stay inside, in drip them faucets. And
That was an Offspring song, wasn't it? Boogers in your stash?
I don't know, Tony. Could be.
Anyway.
Uncle Tony, you've probably been having to work remote, so I don't know if that means you're getting new concoctions of your drink. What's Uncle Tony drinking tonight?
So, we've been working remote for 3 days now. I'm flashing back to 2020. But I have two drinks tonight, and both of them have a little meaning behind them. The first one is I made one of my world-famous Irish coffees. That we learned how to make at the Buena Vista Cafe in San Francisco. If you're ever in San Francisco, go to Buena Vista Cafe at the bottom of the Powell Hyde cable car run and get an Irish coffee original. It's awesome. It's so damn cold. When you're cold, there ain't nothing better than an Irish coffee. I'm just telling you. It was really good. So that warmed me up tonight. But then another great listener of the pod,
you showed John us two empty glasses, Kevin. By the way,
this is what Uncle Tony was drinking.
Was drinking. Are you drinking?
What I was drinking was, our bud John for the podcast, I appreciate it. Got me a bottle of Eagle Rare bourbon. This is a straight up. I say, hey, put a little orange bitters or orange slice in your bourbon with an ice cube, and it's perfect. So. There's some big fans of Eagle Rare, but this is really good. This was my first bottle. This is really good bourbon. It is a classic, oaky, dark, sweet bourbon. I really enjoy it. But you know what? It's rare to have any Eagles in the playoffs. So here's to the Eagle Rare.
There you go. It's always a themed drink with Uncle Tony.
That's right.
All right, I think that does it for this week. Hopefully, it's a much more enjoyable playoff weekend for us coming up. We don't have to watch Mike McCarthy's goofy-looking face or Dak's big eyes looking scared or any of that nonsense.
Mike McCarthy for another fucking year.
Hey, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. At least for now, I don't have to even ponder about the stupid Cowboys.
Dak McCarthy, trade him to the Bears for that first-round pick. Do it. And I'll start watching them again. Do it.
All right, guys. That'll do it. We'll be back next week for more. Peace out.
Peace.
Peace.
All right, boys. Gosh, I can't. Well, at least they made that announcement before we just did this whole, like, 20 minutes. Fun. Like, will they fire him? Should they fire him? You know?
Yeah. Did y'all listen to the last one? LJ put in a little interim because we did a lot of talking about coaches going here and there, and some of that was decided. Yeah. You know, by the time the bar is here already.
Well, I know we did a lot of speculation on, like, should the Patriots fire him? Like, should that, what'll happen there? And then by the time the pod came out, it was announced that he was.
Yeah. That was good.
Ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I'm at this where I was with Jason Garrett. It just irks me to knowing that we cannot say that we're rebuilding and get a young coach and get a young team and move on. The NFC East, just because you win the division every two or three years does not mean you're successful. I'm just so tired of this. I'm just so tired of it.
Hey, worth your energy, Tone.
This is what makes it so frustrating. So our little sitting around, what are the top five quarterbacks in Dallas Cowboys history? What other franchise are you thinking of? Well, I know the top five Dallas Cowboys quarterbacks for me. It's just so frustrating that they're not in the Super Bowl every 3 or 4 years. They've got the money. They've got the stadium. Get the fan base.
But every year they let us down.
Yeah, I guess it's like the Cubs. I guess it might be 50 years more. But the Jimmy Johnson curse is lifted. So maybe next year is the deal. Next year, maybe.
Okay, so it comes in.
I was going to say that a lot. Maybe next year.
Next year's our year. You heard it here, baby.
Jimmy's in the circle. He's in the circle.
Thank you.